The Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. All right. I know you got your Bibles, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I got mine too here. I'm just something that the Lord laid on my heart just a few minutes ago, and I want to share this with you before we go any further. So first of all, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is present here in the sanctuary. I thank you, Father, for those that are watching by way of live stream. I pray, Father, that their ears and their hearts are open to receive your word and to hear from you tonight. Father, I don't want them to hear from a man. I want them to hear from you. I want them to hear from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And may they be sensitive, Father, to your spirit tonight as I minister your word. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm just deviating for just a little bit here from where I was planning to go. I was trying to decide where I want to begin reading. I'll just pick it up at, wow, I could go a long time, but I'll just pick it up at verse 19. I'm sort of picking it up in the middle of it, but hallelujah. I ask you to excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse this evening. So, probably won't be doing any yelling. I don't do that anyway, do I? Amen. But in verse, Lamentations, the third chapter. The book of Lamentations, the third chapter. Verse 19, and I know as I read this, there are many people that can relate to it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. It says, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now the writer here was writing about some things that he had gone through, and how many of you know, and I believe all of you can witness to this, life can be tough. Life can be cruel. Life can be unforgiving. Amen. And there are a lot of hurting people. A lot of hurting people. We were talking earlier today about a young man that took his own life. For a young man that's still have his future ahead of him, why would he take his own life? Well, there may be 1,000 responses to that question. But the bottom line is that he lost hope. In a place where he felt like there was no way out, and there are too many people today in that place right now. Too many people in that place right now. And the world, as we know, is just in a vast state of confusion. Just a vast state of confusion. And a lot of people have this attitude. They have taken this attitude. And I'm just talking about the world in general right now. That it's my way or no way. My way or no way at all. If I can't have my way, forget the whole thing. And the Bible warned us about this day that we're living in now. We're living in a time of selfishness, where it's all about us. The world have set a standard, hear me out on this, the world has set a standard that few people can attain or will attain, simply because the standard is absolutely unreasonable. I'm not talking about a godly standard. You know, God's standards, we can reach them if we commit ourselves to it. Isn't that right? Yeah, because we have the help of the Holy Spirit. He will help us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will enable us. And we can reach the standards which God has set for us. But out in the world, they've set standards. They've set standards in Hollywood, you know, that the only way they reach those standards is because they got plenty of money. What they don't have naturally, they can buy. Not everybody can do that. Most folk can't do that. But what happens too many times, it causes people to become hopeless, frustrated, because they feel like they don't measure up. They feel like they don't measure up. I want to tell each and every one of you right now, if you feel like you don't measure up, you rebuke that thing right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is hope for all of us. Amen. And sometimes we just have to get, and I'm talking about believers now, we just have to get before God and let him reset, what word I want to use here, reset our, what's that thing, the satellite deal, to tell you where to go, when to, how long it's going to take. GPS, yeah, global positioning. You know, sometimes God need to we need to allow God to reset our spiritual GPS. Because, you know, if you're going down the wrong road and you never get to where you're supposed to be going or where you expect to be going, it does get frustrating. Can I have another amen on that? Hallelujah. I remember Monday, Kathy and I, well, actually, we were in Darlington, and Darlington is not a big city. And Darlington, I'm not cutting Darlington down, but Darlington's a nice place, it really is. But it's not a Charlotte or Atlanta. And I'm driving along, and I'm thinking I'm going the right direction. I thought I made the turn that I was supposed to make, but come to find out, I was going the opposite direction than I was supposed to be going. Now, you know, I was using my own mental GPS. I didn't have it. I wasn't using the one on the car. But what was actually happening, we was looking for this certain store, and I was actually close to it, about a mile from it. But because I made the wrong turn, when I thought I was making the right turn, I actually was going away from it. Until I got to the end of the road and recognized where I was, and we were a long ways off. But you know, sometimes in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, that happens to us. Now, you know, I was doing this for my wife. She wanted to go to this particular store. She said, "Well, don't worry about it. Let's just head on back to Chiro." I said, "No, we going to this store." You know, so it took us a little bit longer to get there. But I took her there. But you know what? You know, I could have got frustrated and said, "Forget it. We going back to. I'm going to the house. I'm taking my shoes off, and I'm just going to kick back and do absolutely nothing. Forget this." Now, anybody ever been there? Come on, don't lie in church. We've been there. We have been there before. But you know what? In our walk, in the walk of life, when we get there, it can be really devastating if we don't make the right adjustments. If we don't get a hold of God and what He's doing in us, or want to do in us, because let's go back. Look at verse 21. Now, like I say, I didn't read the whole third chapter. You can go back and read it in your spare time. But listen at what he says. "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope." Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you seem like you're at the bottom, when it seems like you're at the bottom, when it seems hopeless, when you have no answers, when you don't know what to do, need to do like this writer. Punch your recall button and remember that God is still God. When I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I still must remember that God loves me. I still must remember that I am important to Him. And I got to remember that I'm not here just taking up space, but I have been formed by God. He thought about me even before the earth was formed. Y'all stay with me, please. Don't. God knew who I was before this earth was ever here. God knew who you were before this earth was ever here. And I want to tell you something, and I hope you will agree with me on this. I have been formed by God. I have been called by God. Now, when I say called by God, I'm not necessarily talking about the ministry. All of us have been called by God. And I will not allow temporary circumstances. I will not allow a temporary devil. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about in the state that he's in. Now, he's going to the lake of fire one day, but he won't bother nobody else. I will not allow a temporary devil to disrupt what an eternal God intended for my life. Hallelujah. So the writer said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. God is still God. And God still love me. I may have failed him, but he still loves me. And all I have to do is get up, confess my sins, and sometimes we say brush ourselves off, but if we'll let him, he'll brush us off. And get moving again. Because I am an eternal being. You are an eternal being. And there is an eternal purpose for our life. We don't even know what God's plans are. We don't even know where all of his plans while we're here in the earth, let alone on the other side. So we cannot lose hope. And we cannot measure ourselves by what the world say we should be. We need to measure ourselves by God's word. So what if you don't have as much money as such and such? So what if you if you're not 6 feet? Maybe you 4 and a half. But you know something? Before you was ever 4 and a half, let me say it this way, before you ever knew you were 4 and a half feet, God knew you were 4 and a half feet, even before the world was formed. But sometimes we get caught up with what somebody else got because of their stature or their wealth or whatever. No. We got to learn to be thankful where we are. And say, Lord, I'm here for your glory. Y'all help me out. Now, I don't want to say nothing wrong here. And those you Bible scholars, you help me out if I'm wrong here. But if I'm not mistaken, doesn't history say that the Apostle Paul was a short fellow? Short stature, am I right? Huh? Don't somebody? Yes, Pat. Thank you. Yes, that short fella wrote most of New Testament. We read his letters all the time. Don't tell me God can't use you. Don't tell me God won't use you. Here was a guy killing the Christians, murdering the Christians. I mean, and jailing them, taking them to jail. You know, arresting them. Was right there when Stephen was killed. right there, consenting to it. But God took that little fella. He was on the road to Damascus, and he thought he was looking for some more believers. But God says, I got another plan for you. And God changed his life and used him to help change ours. You know, if you're not, wow. You know, let me say this. If you're not happy, and there are too many people that's not happy, if you're not happy, don't be afraid to ask yourself, why am I not happy? And even better than that, why don't you ask God, God, Lord, why am I not happy? Because I am missing it somewhere. And I already know you want me to be happy. Now, you didn't tell me everything was going to go my way all the time. You didn't tell me that. The Bible doesn't say that everything's going to go our way. Once you get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and everything, everything's going your way. No, the Bible does not teach that. But the Bible does tell us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord, this same little short fellow Paul said under the anointing and direction of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Can I tell you something? Regardless of where you are right now, your circumstances and so forth, please do this for me. Well, no, don't do it for me. Do it for you. Make a decision that you're going to be happy. Amen. And that you're going to rejoice in the Lord. And he's going to lead you right out of your situation. He's going to program or reprogram your GPS and give you something to follow. And it begins with his word. Hallelujah. God didn't save us to be miserable. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul again, locked up in prison, in the inner prison. That was a good place, according to the world anyway, to bellyache and gripe and complain. And like Priscilla asked a question earlier while they were singing, if you ever wanted to give up on God, and I think all of us at some point in time have been there. But Paul didn't. Them boys began to sing and praise God. Think about that for a moment. He's in the inner prison, Paul and Silas, in the inner prison, locked up because they preached the gospel. And Paul and Silas decide, man, we're just going to go. Man, this is a good place to praise God. And the prisoners heard them. I said the prisoners heard them. And they were praising God and magnifying God. Y'all know what happened? Jail doors flew open. The mighty angels of God was on the scene. And guess what? Not one prisoner said, oh, here's my chance. I'm out of here. Nobody left. God does not want us miserable. So, verse 21 again. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, listen at this, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. If you don't believe it, ask Daniel. If his testimony ain't enough for you, ask the three Hebrew boys. In the fiery furnace. But you know they was in the fiery furnace, but they wasn't in there by themselves, were they? There was someone in there like the Son of God. And guess what? They were not consumed. So, 22 again, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God is always compassionate towards me. God's always compassionate towards you. They are new. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know God is faithful. Even when it seems like nothing is happening, seems like nothing changes, God is still faithful. Hallelujah. And his mercies and compassions are new every morning. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And I like verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good, this is verse 26, that one should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Notice, let me read that again, verse 26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Excuse me. Which means while you're waiting for the salvation of the Lord, watch your mouth. And I got some more I want to say about that. Not tonight, but watch your mouth, because your mouth can get you in more trouble. Your mouth can dig you deeper in this tunnel that you're in. Your mouth is a powerful thing. Your mouth is a powerful thing. Amen. Every time you speak a word, the devil hears it. Every time you speak a word, the angels of God hear it. And every time you speak a word, God himself hears it. That's the reason we're told not to speak idle words. Your mouth is powerful. Your words are powerful. So when you get frustrated and start saying, well, nothing's ever going to work out for me, I just don't understand. What do God have against me? And the whole time you're digging it deeper. You're going deeper and deeper. No, what you need to do is turn that. Now, it says you should hope quietly before the wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But that's not talking about praise. That's not talking about standing on his word. Because as you praise him and as you stand on his word, guess what? That hole start filling in for you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Just use this as an example as I get ready to close. I can imagine you in the hole and you praising and glorifying God. And as you praise and glorify God, the angels scoop up a shovel of dirt, drop it in the hole. Say, step up. You keep praising. Drop another shovel full in the hole. Step up. Just moving up higher all the time. All the time. Let praise and worship flow forth from your mouth. And have hope. Hope in God, will you? Let's hope in God. Amen. I said amen. Well, I didn't know I was going to minister to that tonight. Praise God. But it blessed me too. It blessed me too. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you right now for your word that will not return to you void.